This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is exceptional.
If we could have one of the two games come down to the last snap, we'll take that.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How does both games coming down to the last snap try that one on for size?
The Rich Eisen Show.
That's what happened.
Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host Chris Long. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Plus, ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, my goodness. It's just getting real. It's getting real. It's getting real for various reasons. One, it's hour two. Nothing's more real than hour two, okay, on our program, okay? I'm not saying one is fake. Hour one is real as well. But it's getting real. Yeah. Okay. It's getting real because Bruce Feldman's in this hour, and he's a Fox Sports college football friend of ours, been with us all season long. And can't wait to have him here with the national championship now set. He writes for The Athletic, wrote this great article about all these unnamed coaches that coached against Michigan that thought Alabama to a man was going to win. So when he comes in 20 minutes, I want names. I want answers. I swear to God, I'm going to treat him like Colonel Jessup on the stand. It's going to happen. It's going to be great.
Is he aware of this?
No, he's not.
Okay. Well, he's listening. So.
Is he really?
I think he's
Is here. He here yet?
I think he's here.
Oh, okay, great. I shouldn't have revealed my plan, my caper. I've been like Maury the Wig Man. I've been cultivating this caper for about 2 days. Can't wait. Also, it's getting real. Week 18 is the NFL's final regular season. It's getting real.
It's getting real.
And, you know, lots at stake. Who's in? Who's out? Who's up? Who's not? Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, you just had this conversation with Chris Long. He thinks that that defense is so poorly manned and so poorly stocked that it doesn't really matter. That he thinks the Eagles could absolutely get one and done by the NFC South champs if they go and as the 5 seed, which we all expect them to, because even if they do beat the Giants like they did on Christmas week, by the hair of their chinny chin chins, skin of their teeth, if you will, that the Cowboys aren't going to lose the Washington Commanders, and that's the way that they're going to be the 2 seed. And so he just said many things that gives you pause about the Eagles' opportunity and chances and likeliness as a repeating as NFC champs. Nick Sirianni says they have an opportunity of everyone up, everyone healthy, Slay back from knee surgery. Devontae Smith, who walked out, hobbled out with crutches and a walking boot, he says everybody has a chance to be up. And that they're not changing their approach. That he said that they, let me get this exact quote from him from the NFL Network desk, awesomeness. Quote, we don't change our process based off our results, said Nick Sirianni. And the question is who they're gonna play in the first round of the playoffs if they are the wild card. Who's gonna win the NFC South? The Bucs have a win-in scenario. And when Chris Long was on the show prior to joining us, we were chit-chatting. Todd Bowles said that Baker Mayfield wasn't part of the walkthrough today, and had they had a full-on practice, he wouldn't have been part of that either because of a rib injury he suffered in the loss to the Saints. Boy, did the Saints put the bang thing on the Bucs. As they usually do. Bucks have a season finale in Carolina, win and in scenario. And this is Baker Mayfield moments ago talking about his availability for the game.
I'll do everything I can to be out there, that's for sure. Division on the line, playoff hopes on the line, going back to Carolina. Yeah, I'll do everything I can.
And let me just explain. I know I'm a boy. I know I'm a boy, Baker. For the radio audience, we're going about to replay that soundbite, so cue it up again, if you don't mind, Mr. Hoskins. There's a glint in his eye.
Oh.
When he says, go back to Carolina, where, by the way, as you know, he went back for a shot. And David Tepper threw his figurative drink on Matt Rhule. And then Steve Wilkes was there, and P.J. Walker got chances that Baker thought, I imagine, he should have had because he's Baker freaking Mayfield. And it looks like this guy wants to plant his flag right there, and the house of drinks being on the house. Check it out.
I'll do everything I can to be out there. That's for sure. Division on the line, playoff hopes on the line, going back to Carolina. Yeah, I'll do everything I can.
See that glint? It was in the right eye.
I only looked at his eyes during that sound.
And the right eye?
It said something.
It glinted.
Yeah, it said something. He's playing four tutties. Book it.
Chris Long said he heard that Baker might not play and then wagered.
Wagered. That's the thing where he lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the Panthers. Yeah. I don't know. Get Chris Long back on the Zoom.
I might want to hedge.
My boy's eyes were glinting.
Might want to hedge on that, Chris Long.
And again, I know I've been calling audibles all day off of our rundown. Get the statement ready. That we have ready, since I've already mentioned David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers.
Also, Rich, real quick, Joe Flacco will not play on Sunday.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Jeff Driskel starting.
Okay. Keep him healthy and upright.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Let me just hit this, if you don't mind. Part of my job is to speak truth to power. And the commissioner of the National Football League, when he was the COO of the NFL, gave me the green light. Prior to my job at NFL Network, he told me, Roger Goodell, I'll never forget, we were golfing. He took me golfing. God bless that man.
Nice.
Well, anybody who takes me golfing has me at hello.
Augusta?
Well, they also had me under contract already, but bottom line is, sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's the first time I ever met Roger Goodell was when he invited me to go play golf after I got the job at NFL Network. I had just left ESPN, just got married to Suze. My goodness, my head was spinning. And I went playing. I remember where I was. Because I was in the deep in what felt like the deepest sand trap of my entire life, where I frequently am. So I'm double, triple bogeying my way through with one of my future bosses and the future commissioner of the NFL, which obviously I had no idea at the time. And he basically said, "You know, say what's on your mind and say what's in your gut." I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, "If anybody ever says you shouldn't have said that, reach out to me." He kind of gave me that safety net, because he said, we hired you to do a job, to go do your job, which I loved. So here it is. David Tepper threw a drink on a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. And that is obviously beyond the pale. I think unacceptable behavior is what the league called it, right? In their statement, in fining him $300,000. He put out a statement as part of this announcement that he's been fined $300,000, which I know is chump change to him. Here's a statement. Unacceptable conduct is what it's called. I'm deeply passionate about this team and regret my behavior on Sunday. I should have let NFL Stadium security handle any issues that arose. I respect the NFL's code of conduct and accept the league's discipline for my behavior. I don't know what the fan said. Could he have insulted a member of his family? Could he have, maybe that's what he means by NFL security. I don't know. But there's three words outside of all the, and I do need to go ahead and say, we don't know what was said. But the league did fine him for what's called unacceptable behavior. So obviously they didn't accept whatever they heard David Tepper said this fan did say. Because, things are crazy in this world. And words come out of people's mouths that make them real tough. When there's, a wall and a suite in between them and the person that they're insulting. So I just want to put that out there. But again, I'm accepting that the league finds this unacceptable behavior. And if that is the case, there's three words missing from that statement. And those words are, I am sorry. Regret behavior is not, and also the first words out of your mouth is how passionate you are about your team. Mm-hmm. The first three words of any statement that sounds like you mean it start with the words, I am sorry. The rest of it comes across like word salad if there is a PR team that wrote this. FYI, that's a little RES consulting for you. I am sorry. So that's my statement on that. And we'll see if... tune into game day morning on Sunday to see if I'm sitting there.
Oh, please. Like I said, my rent's going up this month, so we need you.
Thank you. Tony in Florida, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tony? Tony.
Tony.
Hey. Tony, what's up?
Hey, Jay. Hey, Rich, how are you, brother?
What's going on?
Good. Hey, listen, I'm just following. Listen, I'm a Del Tufo's podcast partner from Jersey calling back.
Hey,
Tony.
Tony, where is Mike? Do you know where Mike is?
We don't
know.
Him. We haven't seen him.
Literally,
the
guy sitting in his chair right now. You have no idea where he is, right?
I have no idea.
Okay,
I don't know where he is, Tony. Where he is, but
I haven't seen him this year.
He could be at Tommy DeVito's house making cutlets with his mom.
Hey, good. Well, then say hi to Tommy's mother for me.
Send some to us.
Yes, but I had three things that I wanted to kind of cover because my eyes don't lie and I know I see what I see.
Okay.
So I wanted to cover. One is, I want Penix on the G-men.
Ooh.
This guy throws dimes unlike Danny Dimes. See what I did there again?
I did. You're turning phrases, Tony.
I like Long's review of him. I think he's got a lot of upside. And let me tell you something. That ball comes out of that kid's hands. And I know the cutlets are getting cold, but they're not stale. But we love Penix in G-Men Blue.
Okay.
I got two more. One is I think there could be two wild card winners coming to the Super Bowl this year. Bills, Browns, or Rams. Don't sleep on those Rams. Stafford, my G-Men gave him a little agita last week, but I think the Rams are going to make some noise, and I think the Bills or Browns. It would not surprise me. I mean, you had Eli on before. You knew the magic that Eli had a couple of times.
Yep. Okay, you got
and
one.
And I got one more for you. I think you're going to be happy with this one.
All right, Tony.
I'll tell you what, Rodgers has a lot to prove next year. I think he balls out in 24, and guess what? He's a guest on Jimmy Kimmel Live Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tony in Florida. I don't think that last part's happening, Tony.
Doesn't seem like it.
You got at this point. Thanks for the call, okay. Tony. At this point, you got to wonder if Rodgers is even going to be a guest on ESPN anymore. After that one,
mm-hmm.
But that's for another day.
Not our business.
Penix. Let's talk about him, because he does throw a beautiful football.
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm.
And he's an interesting prospect. He's 24 years old. And I know it's kind of crazy to front load the conversation we're going to have from next Tuesday all the way through to the last Thursday of April.
It's going to be a long time,
much.
Man.
Wow. But why not?
A lot of talking.
It's never too soon. Certainly when Charles Davis, who's part of the NFL Network combine and draft coverage, he's sitting on the set all 3 days with me, or two nights and 3 days with me. And he was a guest of Susie Schuster and Amy Trask on What the Football with Susie and Amy on Tuesday. It's available where all podcasts are acquired and also on our YouTube page. And Susie asked him about both quarterbacks going in the national championship game and their futures.
Who's going to go higher in the draft, Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy?
I think Penix will, as we sit here right now, Susie. But what we're sitting here saying right now, the run-up to the draft, it changes a lot. You know what it's like? It's like a fumble with a big pile of players, and we know the ball exchanges hands a couple of times. What I've seen in the last few years is the rise of players. Let's keep it the quarterback position. Joe Burrow, going into his senior year at LSU, had a day three grade on him from almost every scout I talked to. And I'll never forget, his senior year, I went to New Orleans for a Saints game and talked to someone with the Saints that I've known very well, a high up. And he just casually said to me, yo, you seen the LSU kid play yet? He might be number one pick in the draft. I said, he's got a third day grade on it. He goes, not anymore, he doesn't. There are a number of these quarterbacks that we're talking about that still have eligibility left. And they are all going to jockey with each other up until the day your name has to be in for the draft. About do I stay or do I go?
Charles, you are spot on your observation that we need to let this play out. The draft isn't a science. There's no Enigma code. There's no Rosetta Stone. And what always astonished me during my years in the league, and I saw this firsthand within our organization, with our scouting department, with our coaches, is how they can be persuaded by grades they read on reports from people they're not working with.
Let's let all this play out. As we sit here now, I would say Penix. When you go back, they weren't supposed to beat Oregon either time. How about last night against Texas? He was huge in that game. McCarthy from Michigan is a little bit of a sleeper because Michigan runs the heck out of the football, and he's not throwing it 45 times a game. That shouldn't be held against him. Let's find out what McCarthy brings to the table. Leadership, game management, big throws at big times. The 4th-and-2 on their own 30?
Yeah.
He executed it like, oh, yeah, this is just a practice play. which tells me about the confidence of the young man, that he's in the moment and he's not going to be deterred. That was a big one.
Mm-hmm. So great conversation. Check it all out on What the Football. And look, Penix is 24, McCarthy's 22. These are two guys that are out there. That where do you're mocking it up these days, right? What do you got?
I'm mocking it up. It's all over the place. I've seen McCarthy higher than Penix. I've seen both guys in the second round. I've seen McCarthy as high as 11
overall.
I've seen Penix late first round.
Who's 11th overall? Who's on that? Who would take him?
I've seen Penix to the McCarthy to the Raiders.
The Raiders.
I've seen, yeah.
But wow!
Also, him as a Raider. Got McCarthy at 42 to the Raiders.
So. That's what I mean. I they're kind of all over the place.
As is Jim Harbaugh the coach there
in Las Vegas?
Yeah. So what you're saying?
I think that's on the table.
I don't think so. I think it's one thing I'll ask Schefter later on. I think that's Antonio Pierce's gig.
Seems like Mark Davis has money to spend.
I hear you.
Yeah, but those players seem like they are fighting for.
Honestly,
Antonio
I would
Pierce.
Be shocked if Pierce is the Raiders coach.
I don't know about that. I think the players there have communicated clearly who they want the coach there.
The players are the owners?
I don't understand that. I get it. But the last time the players said, you should hire this guy, and they went ahead and they hired McDaniels instead. And here we are again.
Look, but Penix
is a... Yeah, I know. They did.
Didn't keep him. Seemed like the players wanted him.
And the Packers are about to take his special teams to the playoffs, potentially. But, I mean, you know, Penix... also has that left-handed throwing motion that everybody, when they flip the screen, honestly, when I've seen this on Twitter, when you do this with Tua, too.
You flip him
around to make it look right-handed, and you're like, damn, he can sling it. And left-hander, it's like, oh, he throws a pretty ball. It's kind of weird and stupid.
Wouldn't you agree that Penix looks better throwing than Tua does?
Tua throws a beautiful ball.
But it looks,
ball, Chris.
Looks like he struggles. It looks like it's painful for him to throw. Whereas Penix is so smooth and effortless, that ball jumps out of his hand.
24. Where the Giants are, I don't think the Giants are going to take him.
That's very high. Fifth overall is right. Very high.
That not there, but maybe second round if he's sitting there.
Maybe. Come back in the late first, kind of what the Ravens did for Lamar back in the day.
And then later on, right, we'll talk about the top of the draft and who's sitting there. Jonathan Gannon has made it known what the Cardinals are going to do at the position.
Well,
and that's coming up, still to come. But when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show, I want answers. I need names. Bruce Feldman has them.
I want answers.
I want the truth.
There you go.
You can't handle the truth.
That's it. That's right. So I'm Tom Cruise, and Bruce Feldman is going to be Colonel Jessup. He's the Jack Nicholson who knows what are the names the coaches said Michigan couldn't beat Alabama.
Give them to me.
I need them. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on our Roku channel, radio audience about to return. First of two times I say hello to you, Bruce Feldman. Good to see you, sir.
Great to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. So, by the way, he spent the entire commercial break stunned that I might not be going to the national championship.
Right? Bruce, I'm with you. Stunned.
Me too.
I'm explaining how I'd like
Rich,
doing
it. I get it, but it's your team in the national championship. It doesn't come around all that often.
You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Because I know how much you are ingrained, Michigan yes. football is ingrained into you.
That is correct.
The idea that you wouldn't go to this game?
Well, I mean, it's in Houston. It's the day. Honestly, I'd have to fly. I'd have to do.
It's in Houston, not Reykjavik.
Them.
I mean, it's like not that hard to get to. It's Houston.
But I have a sense of duty to this program and my partners to physically be here maybe a day after. I don't know if I could get back here in time for the show the next
Zoom,
day.
You have technology. That thing, it's an L shape over by your phone.
Yes. Is my computer.
That could probably get connected.
I want you to go. I don't know how you always complain, like, I can't believe, TJ, you're not going to go see the Cowboys.
Because it's a drive from your house to SoFi.
You
SoFi.
Are a Michigan man. You mean there ain't no Michigan man planes flying from here to Houston right. and back? Like, come on. You can get there,
You guys are really laying it on thick.
You need
Because we know
building.
That I also you will go regret too. This for
the rest of my days.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You have to go to that game, Rich.
The rest of my days.
We have Susie can sit in. We'll be fine.
No,
and you know, honestly, she would probably, because she doesn't want to hear you go, I should have gone. You know, like.
For the rest of your life?
Well, actually, if you gave her the choice of, like, would you rather hear, I should have gone, or do you want to do the show? She'd kick my ass out of the house.
So it's a win-win.
You gotta go, Rich.
All right, guys.
Brady will fly you back on the jet.
Hey.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Bruce Feldman here from Fox Sports and The Athletic on the Rich Eisen Show and his usual Wednesday spot. The College Football Playoff Committee Monday night. Had the happiest of New Year's, pretty much.
Man, they gave
last
two amazing
snap
games.
Two right?
amazing games. Yeah, it was.
I try to remember. Boy, did we chop that subject matter up?
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the two games were so compelling, and there was so much drama. And I think, you know, look, I think there's a lot of fans out there who are looking at it, going, "Okay, we don't have an SEC team in this title game," and that's probably refreshing to them. Now, I'm sure a lot of them are sick of Michigan already, but but I think people are also really embracing Washington, Kalen DeBoer, Michael Penix Jr. I mean, there's some great stories there, and they're fun to watch. I think you have a Styles make fight kind of game where you have just a traditional, true Big Ten brutish team, and you have a really dynamic, you know, again, they were of the same era, but it was like, you know, when you were younger, you know, seeing, like, I think Warren Moon play in a Rose Bowl. And it was like, this is a Pac-10 team against a Big Ten team. And it feels kind of similar, except now that they've had one more big step to get to this game.
It's funny you say Warren Moon. He was in a row behind me at the Rose Bowl. And he was wearing his Washington Huskies gear to the game. And I'm like, yeah, we almost played each other today here in the Rose Bowl, which would have been obviously as fitting as it gets of the last true Rose Bowl game between a Big Ten team and a Pac-10/12 team.
Or maybe it's the Big Ten title game for next year.
That's what it is now. It's going to be, it's a conference. As a matter of fact, Michigan goes to Washington next year.
Yeah.
They have Texas at home at Washington next year. So either way, however that game wound up, it was going to be a rematch in next year's regular season.
Well, these will be dramatically different teams by then.
Right. Of course.
So, but, I don't know. I think it's going to be such a compelling, like, the storylines for this game going in are really fascinating.
All right. And before we dig into those, normally I would just transition into that because I am curious as to what you feel about that, Bruce Feldman. But you wrote a compelling piece prior to the game that you had a handful of coaches that coached against Michigan. And all of them, to a man, said Alabama was going to win this game. I want names from you right now. I need names from you right now, and I demand the truth.
I give you names. I will say this. I ended up.
I want answers, though.
Your Michigan brethren,
yes, sir,
devoted and loyal as they are, yes, they definitely made their voices heard on that. I heard, you know, I actually met a bunch of folks, some in the media, some around the media,
yes,
you know, while in Pasadena. It was good. And I think, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, what are those coaches saying now? Well, I actually talked to a bunch of those coaches again to see.
Oh, what you have revisited the conversation.
I have revisited the conversation.
People whose names rhyme with Miano.
Who would that be?
Schmay?
Schmay? Cranklin?
Cranklin.
Yeah.
Is a great name.
Yeah.
He's just going to still go. Because you're a professional. I'm sorry. So you revisited these conversations?
Yes. And look, there's a couple things that shine through. Now, what was interesting for me was the skepticism was, okay, which J.J. McCarthy are we getting here? The J.J. McCarthy who looked great in the beginning of the year when the competition wasn't very good, mm-hmm, or the J.J. McCarthy that honestly was playing hobbled from the Penn State game on, and also the schedule got harder. I mean, they played really good defenses down the stretch. And I think absolutely what one of the things that Michigan folks took issue with was like, no one's giving us credit for anything. And, you know, there were a few of those coaches pointed out, wait a minute, this is the same time the Connor Stallion stuff came to light.
Yeah,
all of a sudden.
The reason why they didn't give credit for anything is because they were discrediting everything.
That is true.
That's the opposite of credit for anything is discrediting everything.
Yes. And so I'd asked some of the players and coaches, I was like, what now? You know, because at this point now.
By the way, this is where I would have popcorn and I'd start eating it. So no, what did they say? What did these coaches say?
No, I think there is respect for them now. I think there absolutely is. I think one thing that to me came through, because it wasn't just the Michigan story that was this. So I did four of these stories where I talked to coaches who played them. The next day was the Alabama one. And people, it wasn't all SEC coaches, because some of the coaches came from non-conference games they played. But there seemed to be a lot more respect. There was a lot more respect for Alabama than there was for Michigan. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show. I think some of that is because of the undertow in the Big Ten of the animosity towards Michigan, especially towards Jim Harbaugh, as opposed to there's a lot more respect. And look, Nick Saban's won a lot of national titles. And on top of this, Michigan, the last two times in the playoff, they were not getting the benefit of the doubt either. Let's not throw that away. I mean, they got whipped by Georgia. Now, it wasn't J.J. was a quarterback. It was Cade McNamara. And then last year, they stubbed their toe against a TCU team that they should have beaten, right? And so I think they had that going in. What I thought, and look, again, I'm going to toot my own horn on this because I got enough, you know.
You said
I said Michigan was going to win in the preseason. I said they were going to win the national title, and I said it that they were going to beat Alabama. What I came back to was something this is not as good as the secondary was of Alabama, and it's elite. The front guys are not what they typically have. There's no Quinnen Williams there. It just wasn't the same level of guys, and that's what Michigan was going to be dealing with. It's not like, you know, the two great corners and Caleb Downs were going up against Michael Penix, who were going to throw it all over the yard. Michigan wanted it to be a street fight, and I think they matched up actually really well against Alabama. And if you did it, you know, like, was Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards as good this year as they were last year? Statistically, no, they weren't. And the coaches thought they were just, you know, they're both coming off injuries. They didn't look the same. The Roman Wilson was the best they had, but it wasn't like they were looking at Washington's receivers or even Texas receivers. But to me, I think a lot of people saw Alabama beat Georgia. They didn't see Alabama almost lose to a bad Auburn team. And so I think they had that in their heads. And so one of the things I asked a bunch of the coaches both Monday night and yesterday morning was, you know, how much do you think it was Michigan or Alabama got overrated or overestimated because it's Alabama, whereas Michigan has been undervalued because it's Michigan? And almost to a man, they all said that's probably true. And because this team has so much experience and so much toughness, that can cover up a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw that. They, you know, They were not good in special teams the other night.
Oh, my God.
I mean, which that almost cost them the game.
Which is why I was thrilled for overtime, because you removed the punt game from overtime.
Yeah.
There was college football, for whatever reason, they decided to do that. For a sport that says, let's stop for 3.5 minutes every 6 minutes because we want to take money hand over fist from Dr. Pepper and everybody else in Allstate and Prudential. But when it comes time to finishing this game, let's move it along. We can't just go up and down the field for 10, 15 minutes and keep punting in the game. We gotta shorten it. Like it makes no sense to me, but that's for another day. Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. I want to dig in deeper to the psyche of these individuals who are now seeing the light that I have been talking about with you this entire time, fully understanding what Connor Stallions was doing is against the rules and all that. And I understand I am shorthanding the cheating. Okay, I get it. But the entire time I'm seeing teams that Michigan got overrun by, Ohio State and Alabama, which is, by the way, they played in a bowl game a few years ago. They smoked Michigan. Yeah. They couldn't stay on the field at the same time against them. A Michigan team that night against Georgia, you could just see them warming up. You could just see on the hoof, to use a scouting phrase. They didn't have the horses to go against them. This now is a team that out-physicaled Alabama. Understand that it was a down year. You want to put it whatever you want to say, down year. But it doesn't matter. This is the
king
year.
Of the SEC. They beat Georgia.
Okay, correct. Yeah. And they out-physicaled this team with a deep roster and deep players. And the coaching, what Sherrone Moore did getting deep in his bag, that first touchdown drive against Alabama, I turned around to Joel Klatt, and I'll say this, you know, this is not giving anything away that Joel wouldn't want to have said, because I turned around to Joel Klatt, who was sitting behind me. Who's seen more Michigan football in person than that guy?
Yeah, no media person.
right, pretty much. Yeah. And I'm like, when they threw that touchdown pass to Blake Corum and snuck him out, right, for the touchdown pass.
Which a play we've now seen a lot in the NFL, by the way.
Correct, but I hadn't seen Corum do that all year. He was deep in his bag. They were breaking every tendency that they had and that drive that they had to have, because the botched punt, you know, muffed punt led to a touchdown for Alabama.
Yeah.
So this is a long-winded setup for saying. So we're now these folks who are like, well, they were cheating.
I think I see where you're going.
They're saying, oh, well, they were cheating. They're now like, oh. They can coach. And they were like, oh, they were cheating. Oh, they're really deep and can play physical football and smart football and timely football in big moments. Oh, Jim Harbaugh actually did hire the right staff after all. Is this where we're at right now? We're finally arrived here?
Because you picked the other side of it, which is fine. Like, I thought Jesse Minter did a terrific job. They got... So to me, the biggest X factor, and it's a quarterback, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but like the one big weapon Alabama had, because I think if you match it up, and I wouldn't like totally pick a game based on this way, but if you said, okay, who has the better running backs? To me, definitely Michigan. Who has the better receivers? And if I'm including tight ends, I would say Michigan. Now, it's not a huge edge, but I would say it's still Michigan. I think Michigan has the better offensive line, even without their best offensive lineman, Zach Zinter, who actually couldn't play. But I thought the way they attacked Jalen Milroe and Jesse Minter, what he did, you know, and I talked to him after the game, he was like, we want to play fast. We're going to come after. We send five, we send six. The first six times Jalen Milroe dropped back to pass, they sacked him four times. I think that set a tone for them, and they should have been up probably 14-3 at half.
Because they were stubbing their toe like they did against TCU, and that made me feel like, God, maybe this isn't our day again.
Yeah, and I think it was special teams. You had a missed field goal. You had a missed PAT. You had
two muffed punts, one that almost damn cost them at the end of the game for a safety.
The one at the end of the game, by the way, my old buddy Dave Anderson, a former slot receiver in the NFL, had a really interesting, if somebody wants to find him on social media, he was a former punt returner, talked about why that is such a hard situation that they put Jake Thaw, that was the hands team return guy out there, where it's like, he'll do it better justice than me, but explaining why after you hear it, you're like, yeah, why did they put him back there at that moment, given he hadn't been out on the field for like 4 hours?
Right. No, and I understand that. So I'm glad that, you know, some of these naysayers are seeing the light. And then just one last point of fact that I need to have cleared up. Is it true that the former Michigan assistant that Alabama hired is no longer on their staff? right now? Did they tell him we're done?
I don't know if he's done there.
As I heard he's done.
No, I don't know if he's done there. Okay. But we'll see.
So just stick him around, because I'm sure maybe, you know, he can go coach for Washington. There's a few a couple more days left here. You know, I have the scars of the last several, you know, weeks, and the fact that people thought it's got to be the cheating. Are we done with that now? Because there were cheaters that were that trended, right? You told me this, Chris. The word cheaters trended on Monday night.
Sure did.
Okay. Are we done with it? Are we done with it? Because I'm seeing lower third. Is there still an asterisk? Are we done with it? After this?
Yes and no.
Okay.
We're done with it from this standpoint. I think anybody who is being realistic at this point, because I get this. I see, you tweet out story, like, you know, I talked to players were fired up, as they should have been after the game. You know, Chris Jenkins, Trevor Keegan, Kenneth Grant, a bunch of them, all of them, you know, really, you know, strong quotes coming off the field in the post game. And the players, to me, like, and a lot of the not Michigan fans were pushing back, you know, with the, what else are you going to say? They're poking at them as cheaters and whatnot. And I think at the end of the day, you know, it's the players. And the players had, as far as I can, nothing involved in that. You know, you could argue that they had benefited from the insight.
Yes.
But it was like, that isn't the players who did anything. At the end of the day, the players win the games or lose the game.
Right.
And I think at this point going forward, you know, they beat Ohio State. They made the right plays. They certainly beat, obviously, Iowa. But then they beat Alabama, no matter what. And you want to say, you mentioned the former Michigan assistant, George Helo, who went back, you know, he broke in and coaching with Alabama. But like, whatever you want to say, fair and square, whatever, it's like, okay, they just beat the best team in the SEC, the SEC champs. They beat them, and it was like nothing fluky about it or whatever. They held Alabama, went back and looked, to 288 yards. It was the fewest yards Alabama's put up in a game in 7 years, right? So good on the players, good on just, you know, that staff. I think on that regard, if you're being honest, like, this is the game. It's like them against Washington, right? You know, they beat teams without Jim Harbaugh down the stretch, who were the best teams they played. And then when Harbaugh came back, you know, they beat those teams who were, you know, having to prepare for them. The only reason why I would say it's not done is because the NCAA will still have some form of justice, you know, on the back end of it, you know. But are we done about it? You know, we, on the field stuff, I think we should be done talking about it. Like, because I think that's a disservice now to the Michigan players.
Certainly, since an Alabama player says at a podium, you know, hey, yeah, they won't let us watch film on an iPad, and everyone goes running off and says, of course, everyone runs off. Oh, it must be Michigan. They're afraid of Michigan. Michigan must have hacked their app. And Michigan hasn't been on the same damn app for weeks.
Yeah, that was.
And
that,
so, but you're seeing headlines, you're seeing stories written, and it must be a Michigan cheating thing, and it is not. And I can't wait to see the same. I feel like Michael Irvin. Same intensity
same
to the
energy.
Media.
Yeah.
Do not lose the same intensity. I want to see exactly what the hell's going on with this app, even though they say that it hasn't been hacked. I want to know what's going on, who's behind it, and I want to know the names of the people who handed a fully baked investigation to the NCAA that let them run with it. I want that name.
Well, you're not done with it.
I'm not done with it for the moment, but I'm breathing, and I'm excited for Monday. So before I let you go, you said there's storylines. How do you see the Monday night matchup between Washington and Michigan playing out?
You know, I think the biggest challenge is, as good as the interior defensive line of Texas was and people raved about them, they had no sacks. Now, Michael Penix did a really good job evading some pressure when he did. They couldn't get to him.
He's amazing.
He is amazing. And, you know, I saw you play the audio with Charles and earlier about his pro draft process. He's going to be a really fascinating subject for the NFL, not just because of the injury history, from a lot of levels on this. They have three elite receivers. Now, their running back, Dylan Johnson, got hurt at the end of the game. We'll see what kind of...
Why were they kneeling the football, man? They handed it off.
Conversation for another day.
Okay.
So, but I just think the question's going to be, can Michigan get to them? Because they got to, you know, they got to Milroe. Now, Alabama was more... their offensive line is not as buttoned up as what Washington is. That's a really underrated group. They don't get, I mean, they won the Joe Moore Award, but they don't get enough credit nationally because people talk about Penix, which they should. People talk about the three-star receivers, which they should, but the offensive line is really good. I think this is such a fun battle because both teams, these are the two most mentally tough teams in college football. Not coincidentally that they're playing for the title.
Love it.
Because Kalen DeBoer is super cool and he's authentic and he has great poise and presence and the players respond to it. Mm-hmm. They've been through a lot. They win every close game. Michigan's team has all this adversity and they're just like, you can't knock them off. They wobble and they keep going. And so, you know, I picked Michigan to win the national title. I'm not going to back off at that at this point. I will be interested to see how they slow down Michael Penix Jr. because in a lot of ways, they have a good secondary, Michigan does. Like one of the coaches I talked to, you know, about this yesterday said, they're elite at all three levels that Texas wasn't. Texas was elite up front, but they on the back end, they were exposed. Now, one other thing that this person pointed out was you can run on Washington. Texas averaged 6 yards a carry, but they had two fumbles and that cost them or else they probably win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think Michigan's offense will have a pretty big day. What I just wonder is, you know,
how do you slow down?
How do you slow down?
He's so good, man. He's so good. And, you know, obviously there's a history. He beat them at Alabama.
That was a long time ago. He has much better receivers now. This is a way different Michigan team.
I know that. It's a different Michigan team. I get it. But, I mean, it's not like he's never seen the winged helmets on the other side of the line of scrimmage before, which has to count, too.
No, he's playing with an insane amount of confidence.
Big time.
And, you know, he's just, I did a story on him the other day and he was very candid with me about how low he was coming out, you know, at Indiana because he'd been injured 4 times. And, you know, some of the things he had talked to me about, it was at one point he said he was scared of getting hurt again. And, you know, the thought of quitting in his head popped in his head and he wouldn't give up because he's got two younger brothers and wanted to, you know, the game means too much to have him to him, but he was really rattled. And I think what is going to be fascinating with him going forward is the NFL gets all twisted up in knots with you know, how they're doing the evaluation process. His film is remarkable. And this guy has also faced real adversity and come flying through it. A lot of times college quarterbacks, they haven't faced real adversity. And then when they hit them, they wilt in the NFL. This guy's actually faced it and come out of it even stronger. I think he's, you know, again, I won't say this, wouldn't say this to you, but I think he's a guy that when people read and learn about him,
of course
you would definitely root for Michael Penix Jr.
There's no doubt about it. You know, obviously for 3.5 or 4 hours, depending on how many TV timeouts. You know, and so one last quick question. What does he do with his head in that? In you know, when he doesn't look at field goals or he sticks his head in that, what is that? Is that where you put the equipment?
Yeah.
It's equipment sort of shed. Do you know what he does?
I will ask him on Saturday.
Is he honestly? I'm wondering when he sticks his head in
what
there.
What is going through his?
Yeah. What is he? Is he praying? Is he talking?
I would imagine
himself?
He would be praying.
That's
some
what I'm
kind
thinking.
Of positive thought.
It's just. It's.
I wasn't sure if there was a phone in there.
Is he speaking to his coordinator or something?
Is there air
at that moment? I don't know.
He's a really
deep guy.
Yeah.
Just you know, when I went up to Seattle this offseason and spent time with him, it was a conversation that kind of blew my mind because I just didn't expect him to, he's really connected emotionally and he is a deep guy and he has a great bond with Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator. They have a special thing there because remember, as bad as Michigan was, you know, when they had a two-win season in the pandemic, you know, this team was 4-8 before Kalen DeBoer showed up and Michael Penix Jr. showed up. It's it's such a cool story. You know, I can't wait to get to Houston.
It's going to be a lot of fun, no doubt about it. And obviously, this is going to be a Big Ten matchup from now on, which is kind of crazy. And, you know, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Book the tickets. You should go.
All right. Thank you very much. He's the angel on my shoulder. That's Bruce Feldman right here on the Rich Eisen. He didn't give me names. He didn't give me names at all. Okay. Very good.
He ain't no snitch.
Does one rhyme with Moxley? I don't know. We'll keep asking these questions. Schmerz? Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Herm Edwards on October 30th, 2002, after a Week 8 loss to the Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
Here is play to win the game, as told by Victor Newman.
This is great about sports. This is what's the greatest thing about sports, is you play to win. Hello? You play to win the damn game, right? You don't play just to play it. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, get your ass out of here, then retire. Because it matters.
Well done. That's number one. Next up, on October 16th, 2006, after the Cardinals blew a 20-point lead against the Bears on Monday Night Football.
Oh, man.
Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, as portrayed by Victor Newman.
Bears are who we thought they were, you know? That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the damn hook.
Very good. Very well done. All right, last one for you.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
I'm glad that we got it rolling, because here's the last one.
I can feel it. Oh.
On May 7th, 2002, the famed practice press conference of one Allen Iverson, as recounted by the man who plays Victor Newman, Eric Braeden. Hit it.
I mean, listen, man. You're talking about practice, okay? Not a game. It's not a game. Not a game, all right? Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. I know it's important. Yeah, I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice. You're talking about practice, man.
Still applauding. Game time tickets. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about game time tickets. A frustrating ticket buying experience in this world is very simple to encounter. I used to have them, not anymore. Because you don't need to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event with Game Time. Sports, music, comedy, theater events near you, all on the app. Last-minute killer deals, all-in prices, view from your seat, best price guarantee, all on the app. Game Time flat-out takes the guesswork out of buying tickets that you can buy in seconds with two simple taps. Download the Game Time app, create an account. Here's another great part about it. Use my code RICH, $20 off your first purchase. Boom, as they say. Do you even have that drop? Get it ready for the next time I say it, Jay.
Boom!
Thank you. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code RICH, $20 off.
Boom!
Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We even bring production value to the Game Time tickets.
I mean, what more could they want?
I do.
I honestly do.
Thank you very much.
I do.
Wow.
Thank you.
Game Time.
Wow.
They got to appreciate that, right?
Just the difference when someone is sitting next to me paying attention.
So let me ask you this question, Chris. Because, again, I'm used to this whole everybody hates my team and they might win it all despite all that thing. And you're very well versed in that.
Oh, wow. I mean, okay. Since our show started, the Super Bowl has just basically been the New England Patriot Invitational.
Pretty much. My God. But not last couple of years, but still.
First five years of our show.
So I think he's establishing, again, what it's like to feel that way and then just wearing it. Just wearing it, bathing in it, like it's like a cologne, like you're dousing yourself. You break the cologne over your head, and you smell it from across the room, and he doesn't care.
I mean,
okay, yeah. So I'm asking, what do I do with? Because again, I'm just getting used to this for the first time as a Michigan Wolverine guy.
Of course.
What if the rest of the world also loves the team that's trying to beat you? Because Michael Penix Jr. is one to root for. Kalen DeBoer is one to root for. Yeah, even purple. People love purple. We're on Roku. We love purple. Oh, I mean, for every single time I see purple, I think it's the Roku channel. Let me get the mic flag perfectly for this one. You know what I mean? Like, everyone loves purple and white and gray and all that. I feel like I'm wearing, this is Washington colors right here, the Roku channel mic flag. I'm wearing a nice
gray,
fantastic gray sweater.
Need some dark gold.
You know what I mean? Like,
people love Joel McHale.
Yeah, you know what
true.
I mean?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Mina Kimes went to Washington.
Yeah. So what do I do with that?
Oh, you step on their hearts.
No
one cares. No one cares.
Okay, great.
Yeah. You punch babies. You throw puppies into the coal.
No, you don't.
Yeah, of course, man. You embrace the villain role.
Yeah, you kick Baxter off that bridge.
You root for the bad guys in the movies.
What if then the person that you then ask...
punted Baxter!
What do you do if the person you're now asking that advice of, because he's so well-versed in that, is somebody who roots against you also, as opposed to actually understanding my situation and actually bonding with me over it?
Here's the problem where you and I differ, because you're trying to deflect the cheating like it didn't matter. You got to embrace all of it. You're not embracing all of it. You're embracing like 38% of it.
The other 62% of it?
Just be like, yeah, we cheated. You guys should cheat better. You know what I mean?
I see. That's where we gotta Goodfellas. Now I gotta turn my back on him.
You gotta be like, yeah, Connor Stallions was at the Rose Bowl. He was probably texting someone on the sideline, Alabama signals. You know what I mean? You gotta embrace all of it.
Yeah, or you could be like,
you're like dipping your toe in. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I
gotta turn my back.
Like,
see, thank you.
Now
I gotta turn my back on him.
But I'm one of the big bad guys now.
I get what you gotta be like us. Like, this team here.
Cowboys versus everybody.
People would rather this team lose than their team win.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so at some point, you just don't care. I don't care about what any other team is doing, but everyone cares about
us.
So you know what?
I've got five more days to soak this in.
You're going to that game, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you're going to the game.
You have to. By the way,
we're coming with you. I got nothing to do on Monday.
You know what? I don't even care if I go. It's not about me. I'll be here for the show. You need to be at this game or you will regret it, man. So...
I need to soak this in. I'm not all the way there yet.
We'll go all the way.
You and Tom Brady will be on the jet together. It'll be great.
Oh yeah. Now I'm all in.
With the Maze M on the side.
TV 12. I'm in.
Come on. Don't do that.
Adam Schefter's about to join us too.
He can fly too. He'll be working the whole flight.
He's coming from Connecticut.
He'll have like 14 phones. He'll just be like the Paul Pierce shift.
He's going to be in the middle of coaches being fired season. Like this is literally.
His Super Bowl.
Any CPA's tax season on steroids. Are you kidding me?
CPA tax.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Information men and women, Sunday into next Tuesday, will kiss their families goodbye and say, you know, slip the meals under the door.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why I want to get Adam in now.
What do we think? So the Panthers have an opening, right? Raiders have an opening.
The Chargers.
And the Chargers, right. So how many else? How many more other
teams? Okay, well, the Chargers guys, Kellen Moore is going to be their coach.
Okay, this guy.
I'm telling you.
Not happening.
No chance.
No way.
You'll see.
No chance.
By the way, I'm fine with that because everybody in my Michigan world thinks this is where he's coming.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
This is where he's coming. And the other place that really scares the hell out of everybody is Chicago, and it seems like Eberflus is not good. Well, he's doing a hell of a job, by the way.
And Max Crosby wants Antonio Pierce. So,
there you go. Yeah. So it's
again, that would shock me, but
I don't know wherever else there is.
Washington.
Because Jim's going to be expensive. And he's gonna, Jim will be expensive Maybe and will Patriots. Want to run the entire show.
Yeah.
Right.
So who? Somebody's got to open their wallets and their front offices for him. Great shot for Schefter going to break. Great shot.